You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's a Wednesday morning, December 10th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media radio network or getting here through so many other routes, we appreciate however you found your way right here in the middle of the week. I got a question for you. Would you want the old yellow Wisconsin license plates to make a comeback? Because they are. There's also going to be a new blackout design. And our question of the day is, what's your next Wisconsin license plate going to be? Are you going to go back to the retro yellow? Are you going to embrace the blackout design that's there? Do you like things as they are? And you're not going to be one of those people who right away wants to change their license plate? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. There's a lot of romance for the old yellow and black Wisconsin license plates. They were very distinctive. I'm going to say it. They were very ugly. There are a lot of people who think they love it. This was ours. It was our identity. It was the color of cheese or butter or whatever. It was just ugly. And I'm not going to be racing to put one of those on. And the blackout ones, I think it's hilarious that this is some kind of new design. You go back and look at images of license plates through history, including in Wisconsin, and black license plates with white numbers. There ain't nothing new about that. However, people think that nowadays a black license plate looks real sleek and blends in with their vehicles just fine. I have no problem with what's there right now, but, you know, different people have different likes. I see the people with all the different specialty license plates out there. That's a whole different question. Do you have a particular specialty license plate? And if so, why? What motivated you to do that? There's the one for the Milwaukee Brewers. There's the one for Road America, which inspired the blackout design. Putting a lot of thought into license plates. But, you know, it's your car. You got to drive around with this thing on it. So we'd like to see if you're happy with what you've got now or if you like one of these new designs. You can reach us anytime throughout the day, throughout the show at least, at 855-752-4842. You can also leave us a voice note through the Civic Media app. You can send a text message as well. Send us a text message about an hour from now. We're going to give you another keyword in the grown-up gift list, Text to Win Contest, where you could win a $200 daily prize or one of several grand prizes that are available at the end of this week, at the end of this contest. Head to the Civic Media website to learn a lot more. Coming up on the program today, State Representative Angelina Cruz from Racine will be along. The new state budget had a promise, or maybe a goal, a guideline, whatever you want to call it, of increasing the amount of state reimbursement to school districts for special education costs, because special education is essential, but it's also expensive. And the state, for the longest time, said, we will help local school districts offset that cost. We'll pay a certain percentage of it. And that percentage has shrunk and shrunk and shrunk over time. And now there's a move to get it back up, especially given that voucher schools still get 90% reimbursement. And there was talk about this new state budget getting the public school reimbursement rate back up to about 42%, but the new numbers came out. And you see, it's not a number that is set in stone. There's a lot of factors that go into what it is, and it wasn't 42% this year. It was more like 35%. And so Representative Angelina Cruz and others are putting forward a bill that would guarantee a certain level of state reimbursement to school districts on special ed. And that only helps the local taxpayers, because if the local school board doesn't have to levy for that extra expense of special education, then they don't have to raise property taxes quite as much. So Representative Cruz will be along as well. She's from Racine, which is the warm spot right now at 36 degrees. The cold spot is in Solon Springs up north. It's 14 there. A lot of 25s out there. 25 here in the Chippewa Valley and La Crosse and Oshkosh and Hayward. It's 21 in Wausau. It's 28 in Richland Center as we bring in Parker Olson, who produces this fine quality radio program. Mr. Olson, good morning. How are you?
Doing good, Pat. How are you doing this morning?
I'm better now that I see the note that we are on the backside of this 12-day window where we see the earliest sunset of the year from December, what is it, 3rd to 15th, something like that. The sun sets at 4:24. And that's
I hate it.
That's just depressing. But we're on the downward slope. Starting Monday, the sun will start setting a little later, minute by minute. You know, you don't notice it right away, but you know, 4:25 is better than 4:24. I can't wait till it's 8:25 again.
Yeah,
but it's still a little ways off.
It is strange how, for lack of a better term, depressing it is when the sun is down so early.
There is no better term. No. I love scrolling through social media and watching, you know, just how funny people can be. And somebody had a kind of a meme thing up yesterday. Summertime, 4:30 p.m. Oh, there's still plenty of time to go grocery shopping. I'm going to go run some errands. Yep. Wintertime, 4:30 p.m. Pajamas on. When can we go to bed?
Yep.
It's the same time on the clock, but that sun makes a lot of difference.
It really does. I miss seeing the sun in the morning because when I first started in May, I could see a little bit of that sunrise when I was getting into work. And now I don't know if the sun comes up ever.
Right. I know. Sherry's the same way. She has a 45-minute drive from Chippewa Falls up to Rice Lake every day. And, you know, there are those windows on either side of the calendar where you either get the sunrise and or the sunset on the drive. And because it's a north-south drive, it's never in her eyes. And so it's always pleasant at those times of year. But then there's that window when you realize you're making the drive both ways in darkness.
Yeah.
You know, and that's no bueno, as they like to say. But we are getting there. December 21st, the shortest day of the year, is not that terribly far away. And then things are going to get better. What was your impression hearing about the new license plates? Again, I know you're too young to be around for the heyday of the yellow and black ones. But I know you've seen the Road America ones, the blackout license plates that kind of have that weird shape on the side, which is actually the racetrack at Road America.
Yeah,
it is a very sleek, you know, attractive looking license plate. And now the blackout design statewide will look a lot like that one. Do you have a preference?
I gotta be honest. I think the yellow one and the black one look awful. I just don't. I don't like them at all. I will gladly stick with my current one, which has some actual design to it and not a background, a background with a color text. I think they look bad.
Yeah, I like what we've got now. It's got what the little barn and the sailboat and, you know, things like that, things that make Wisconsin, Wisconsin. And you normally don't have to think about these things. The most thinking I do about a license plate is when you got to stick that annual sticker on there when you get your tabs renewed.
Yeah.
And some years it seems to stick better or worse than others, or you get it a little bit off center. Well, now you're stuck with it that way.
You don't
dare try to peel it off, and it gets all crusty and everything. And then you forget that, you know, you forgot to bring a rag, and so you got to lick your thumb and wipe all the schmutz off of the, you know, this year's tab. And of course my tabs come due in December. So it's never a fun chore, but that's the only time I ever think about the license plate.
Yeah,
I mean, they're essential, but
I have a very very standard car that pretty much everyone else on Earth has, it seems. So my car needs to be a little more identifiable.
I see that. Yep.
So I don't think I would get the license plate. Maybe I'll get like a frame though. I do have like a Whitewater frame actually that I got.
Graduation. Yes.
Maybe I
Mr. Whitewater. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. You got to get that on there. Did you ever give thought to personalized license plates? And if so, what would they say?
Oh, what would they say? Ka-chow. I like ka-chow. I think that would be good.
From Cars, yes,
yeah, of
I
course.
Like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I've seen some very imaginative ones out there, and then I've seen others where it's like, you know, you paid extra for that.
Yeah.
It didn't really get you anything.
When it just says your, when it says Daniel, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
And that's your name? Like, okay. I mean, that is the true definition of a vanity plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to me, that's also somebody that just has a really tough time with memory issues.
Yes. Because I was literally going to say that.
I've checked into a hotel and they're like, well, what's your license plate? And I always used to know my license plate, but at that point I'd only had one, then maybe two license plates in my life. Yeah. I don't know how many I'm up to now. And now it's not just six simple characters. Now it's like seven characters. It's a bit much, you know, but we also have phones. It's easy enough for me to just call up my phone and go, oh, there's the picture I took of it.
I'm looking through my phone right now because sometimes I do see a license plate that I think, oh, that's funny. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a different kind of funny, but I do think it's funny. I saw a Cybertruck recently. One of the...
Oh, no.
Yes. Okay. And it has a Road America license plate.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, Triggered is what the vanity
Triggered
name is.
is for the Cybertruck.
And to be perfectly honest with you, that's...
Okay.
Sure. Fine. That's kind of funny.
I actually have to give him that one. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Not a fan, but I
understand it. I understand it. No, I've taken a few of those over the years. I've seen a few. I've put them on either, you know, my phone or sent them around. Let's see. I've got one here. Oh, I can't say that one. I was going to share one. That kind of has a Disney theme to it, but then I realized it has a naughty word about what kind of a Disney princess she is.
Oh. But,
it was great, so I took a picture of it and sent it to my sisters, but I realized I can't say that one now.
Interesting.
All right, so we want to know from you, what's your next Wisconsin license plate going to be? Are you going to go with the blackout one, the yellow one? Are you in no rush whatsoever? Because some people will want to swap theirs out right away, and that makes the state some money, and that was part of the reason for doing this, because, you know, everything comes down to marketing, right? And so some folks will get their license plates, you know, replaced sooner rather than later, and that will help replenish the coffers to help fill the potholes, the ones that otherwise you would hit and your license plate would fall off. Also ahead on the program today, we'll talk to our friend Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast with Earl Ingram. Last week, he had the first interview with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes since he became a candidate for governor and is going to tell us all about the kinds of things that the former lieutenant governor said about this race for governor in a crowded primary field in 2026. I see in the Wisconsin Examiner, for example, he mentioned that he was going to hope to raise $50 million. And the thing is, even if he raises $50 million, it will still be dwarfed by the big so-called independent groups out there that put in, what was the last governor's race, $160 million or something total between the candidates and the outside groups. It's just a never-ending thing, and I'm sure Mandela Barnes had some things to say about that. We'll also be talking to Ellie Bordeaux, our newsletter editor at Up North News. In today's newsletter, for example, she's got a link to my article about how a pair of three-judge panels will convene soon to hear arguments that could result in the redrawing of Wisconsin's congressional districts. We have an update on the whole redistricting matter. If you can't stick around for this and everything else on the show, be sure you head over to Spotify or Apple and follow the show as a podcast. All right, coming up just moments away, what does racism sound like? We might have the quintessential clip of it coming up as found yesterday and uttered by the President of the United States. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tomorrow on the program, some of our usual Thursday guests, that would include Joe Zepecki, who will be joining us. On Friday, we will have the aforementioned Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor and candidate for governor, stopping in on Friday morning. And maybe another candidate for governor tomorrow, on Thursday. I'm not in a position to say just anything more about that yet. We're still working on that potential development, a guest that we would book here. Our question of the day is about license plates and yesterday's announcement, the unveiling of two new designs, retro yellow and so-called blackout. Roger up in Stevens Point says, I'd rather keep the design we have now. The yellow retros would want to make me go find the 78 Chevy Impala station wagon that my parents had. Yeah, that was on the 73 Plymouth Fury that I had my first car, you know, green. Well, green, what you could see through the rust. The rest of it was green and had that old design on there. And so 855-75-CIVIC, if you'd like to weigh in or put something in the comment section like Roger did there just now. What does a racist sound like? It's someone who judges an entire people, by the color of their skin and the differences in their culture compared to their own. Someone who prefers people of his own skin color and ethnicity, even though there are people of his skin color and ethnicity who are terrible people. But he gets comfort from his own kind and treats people of different nationalities as others who are less human, who are garbage. That's the kind of crap you hear from this clip from the President of the United States. He was speaking in Pennsylvania last night at a rally that was supposed to be about affordability. The president's been getting hit hard because prices haven't come down. Inflation is still around, and now it's because of his own decisions when it comes to tariffs and other ways of reducing consumer choice and raising prices. And so even though the rally was supposed to be about affordability, he mocked the term and then went off script a lot. We'll correct some of the record in a bit, though. First, we want to share this. This is what naked racism sounds like, in case anyone is still giving this guy the benefit of the doubt.
We had a meeting, and I say, why is it we only take people from shithole countries, right? Why can't we have some people from Norway, Sweden, just a few? Let us have a few. From Denmark, do you mind sending us a few people? Send us some nice people. Do you mind? But we always take people from Somalia, places that are a disaster, right? Filthy, dirty, disgusting, ridden with crime. The only thing they're good at is going after ships.
That was the President of the United States. I don't know what was more disturbing, the laughter that you heard in the crowd when he again used the word asshole for countries, the chanting of send her back that they later broke into when talking about a member of Congress from the state of Minnesota. Maybe what troubled me most, though, was hearing a small child in the background. I don't know what that child was saying, if they were laughing, talking, whatever, but the fact that they were exposed to that level of hatred and ignorance was just downright depressing, to be honest. But it gave us an opportunity not only to highlight Donald Trump the man, but Donald Trump the liar, who again claimed that prices are way down. Those were his words. Prices are way down. In fact, prices have increased since Trump took office. The Consumer Price Index shows average prices are 1.7% higher in September than they were in January. He also made, as I mentioned, false and racist claims about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, saying that she's here illegally. No, she and her family fled a civil war as a child, came here, became a citizen 25 years ago. Trump continued his untrue statements about immigrants and the economy. He falsely claimed that before he took office, 100% of all new net jobs in the U.S. went to migrants and people that came in the country illegally. That's just so not true. The numbers are there to bear it out, and yet he continues to pass along that lie and claims falsely that the entire prison population of Venezuela and the Republic of Congo were dumped into our country. He exaggerated the inflation claims from the Biden administration and gave all the other familiar fact-free election results and things like that. And it's all because he has no answer for inflation. And you know what? Nobody in the administration does. Listen to this little audio clip. This is from Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, the former congressman from up north. And he was asked, he listens to a question in this clip and then repeats it back. It's about prices when you're flying and how out of hand things have gotten, even just getting food at the airport. Here's Sean Duffy.
So the question is lowering the cost of food in airports. And again, it's interesting. It's market demand and supply. They have people, pretty tightly contained, and there's not a lot of options. And so I don't have a plan to reduce costs. What I am trying to do is provide healthier options for people. And again, who doesn't love a greasy burger at the airport? I know I do.
Okay, so he loves a greasy burger at the airport. And can't do anything about the price of it. It's just interesting that when the Republicans are in charge and prices are high, what did he say there? It's the markets. The markets, the invisible hand of the markets. And he said, I don't have a plan to reduce costs. Remember, Sean Duffy was standing directly behind Donald Trump at the White House a week or so ago when Trump first called affordability a hoax. There's Trump and there's Sean Duffy standing right behind him. And he continues to prove that he does not have any answers moving forward. But you know, if who doesn't want a big greasy burger that you got to pay $15 for because that's all he can offer you? Coming up next in today's history lesson, we've got Otis Redding, we've got Marvin Gaye, we've got the Beach Boys, and an electric theremin. But first, the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time once again for today's history lesson on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
That's one small step for man.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
You know, this depression is going to be so great. We'll be the ones eating the cats and the dogs. That's going to be fun.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Welcome back, and it's time for today's history lesson. We will start with the Beach Boys and their theremin, which I am informed is not an actual theremin. It's an electro theremin.
Electro.
Turns out
are
the theremin.
Not electro theremins?
Yes. The original theremin, a performer plays without touching any of the two antennae that sense the position and movement of the performer's hands. But you, there was a trombonist and an amateur inventor who wanted more control than just moving your hand through the air, and so they came up with an electronic version that has a little knob and a slider, and so it gives you the exact same sound but with more control. But apparently some people get worked up if you call it a theremin. It's an electro theremin.
I think it loses the charm if you're not using your hands.
Oh yeah, that's totally. I mean, why should we ever hear this song anymore? It was the number one song on this day in 1966 by the Beach Boys. On this day in 1967, a sad note in history, and it took place right in Madison, Wisconsin, with the loss of Otis Redding.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
Now, Otis Redding was already noted as a really great soul singer, and he was doing concerts and was on his way here to Wisconsin when his airplane crashed into Lake Monona. 1 month later, this song, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, was released, and it went to number one. Also on this same day in 1967, the film Guess Who's Coming to Dinner premiered. It was a groundbreaking film for its lesson in racial tolerance and etiquette. It starred Katharine Hepburn, Sidney Poitier, and Spencer Tracy in his final role. He'd finished shooting his parts in May and passed away in June. And then the movie was released on December 10th, 1967. Let's move up just 1 year to 1968. The new number one song was by Marvin Gaye. So I heard it through the grapevine would hold the number one spot on the singles chart for 5 weeks. And this week, Motown had the top three spots.
Oh, wow.
There was also Love Child by the Supremes.
Of course.
And Stevie Wonder's For Once in My Life. This day in 1968. What?
Who else but the Supremes?
Who else? Of course. Yes. Birthdays today include Chef Bobby Flay, who is 61 years old. Susan Day from the Partridge Family, little Lori Partridge, and also from L.A. Law. Susan Day is 73 years old today. And wasn't it just yesterday that we mentioned that Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was arrested for trying to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat?
We did.
After he was elected president? Yeah. Well, it turns out that was the day before his birthday when he was arrested, because today Rod Blagojevich is 69 years old. Just another reminder, a convicted criminal who should still be in prison but was recently pardoned and released from prison by another convicted criminal. One more birthday here. Well, a couple more. This one is Jack Hughes from Wang Chung. Clear Parker, this was a big hit during my college years.
Yeah.
But when they sang Everybody Wang Chung Tonight,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you from experience 40-some years later, we still don't know what they were talking about. But it's a line we still use. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung Tonight.
Wang Chung Tonight. I mean, surely it's got to be racist,
name of the group.
Right?
No, it's no? The name of the group, Wang Chung.
I still feel
they're,
like
they were just using their own name of the group. Meg White, formerly of the White Stripes, 51 years old. On this day in 1972, Apollo 17 astronauts Gene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt became the last humans to walk on the moon 53 years ago today. On this day in 1976, Paul McCartney and Wings released Wings Over America. So, Wings Over America. Remember yesterday I talked about Neil Diamond's Hot August Night?
Yeah.
It was a double album, a double live concert album. Well, Wings went triple live. This was a triple live album from their 1975-76 world tour. And, of course, would go on to top the album charts, including that top 10 single, Maybe I'm Amazed. In the history books, on this day in 1936, Britain's King Edward VIII became the only British sovereign to voluntarily resign the crown. His abdication was formally approved on December 10th, 1936, because he failed to win public acceptance for his desire to marry the American divorcee, Wallace Warfield Simpson. The things we do for love. On this day in 2005, talking about love, a happy anniversary to Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood. They tied the knot this day in 2005 after 5 years of dating at a private ceremony at their home in Oklahoma. One more song to share. This week in 1986, the number one song was by Bruce Hornsby and the Range. What did Bruce Hornsby have? Like 3-4 hits on the charts? I wouldn't mind it if he had a few more, just to hear his piano playing. Love his piano playing.
Yeah.
It was really good. What's on the National Day calendar on this Wednesday morning?
Today is National Human Rights Day, and also International Animal Rights Day.
So it's Human Rights Day and Animal Rights Day.
Yes.
Well, I'm confused. So who doesn't have rights today? Is it just inanimate objects?
Well, I can
we
tell
can,
you
we can boss them around as much as we want.
I can tell you whose rights are being attacked.
Would they be humans or animals?
Probably both. Probably all of the above. Okay.
Yeah. It's really not a day that's universally celebrated, shall we say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people are jerks out there. Anyway, what else?
It is also National Nobel Prize Day.
Oh, okay. So on the same day that we celebrate the rights of humans and animals, we also celebrate the really smart ones. Who did some really good things. So, okay, I like that. We've got, like, the full range of God's creatures here. Animals, humans, the smart ones, and the ones who are mean to people. All right. What do we got for entertainment news today?
On entertainment news today, I don't know if you saw this a little while ago, Pat. I almost talked about it but decided not to. There was a guy in Singapore who charged at Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Wicked event
during a red carpet appearance. Yes.
Yeah. So he was arrested for that, and was jailed for 9 days before getting deported. This guy has become known and has kind of got a black mark on himself now. He was at a concert, Lady Gaga concert on Tuesday, and was kicked out of the concert before it even started, I believe, because security knew who he was and was like, "Hey, you're a threat to the artist, so you don't get to be here."
Well, yeah, and I'm glad they take this kind of stuff seriously. It was, you know, just on Monday we were talking about, you know, the murder of John Lennon by a fan, and he had signed an autograph for that fan earlier in the day, who was kind of stalking the apartment building where he lived in New York City. And we try to be, you know, up to date on these things, but I think of tennis star Monica Seles, who was stabbed during a match. There was actress Rebecca Schaefer. There are all kinds of incidents of this. And so you have to take something like that seriously from the get-go. If you're jumping the rope line and, you know, trying to get up close to a celebrity, and then you're seen at a different place with a celebrity, I mean, that's the permanent no-fly list, as far as I'm concerned.
You would think, yeah.
So I'm glad that they took that seriously, because, I mean, you have to. That's the day and age we live in.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, kind of comforting to know that they're actually doing something at those security for events, because a lot of the times I feel like they're just there and they're not actually
doing anything. They're just yeah. I mean,
a show of force.
Hey, look, we can't all be Kevin Costner from The Bodyguard, you know, where you right away see every threat and a couple of imaginary ones, and, you know, you get the actress to fall in love with you. But, you know, these guys, they do take their job seriously. So good on them. So what's the latest on Warner Brothers? Because it seems like everybody wants to buy Warner Brothers.
Everyone wants to buy them, yes, and I imagine that you're still going to be annoyed with who's trying to buy them. Paramount is now seeking to buy them. Originally, Netflix had offered $72 billion to purchase the studios, and I can't talk right now. I forget.
That's okay. We're talking about a whole bunch of rich people fighting with each other. Because the news where we left it last week was that Netflix was going to buy Warner Brothers Discovery for $72 billion. And now Paramount is launching a hostile takeover bid. Although, I like what somebody said, how hostile can it be if you're offering $78 billion? That's, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's hostile to Netflix, but not if you're with Warner Brothers Discovery here. And so Paramount said the decision came after it made several earlier offers and said that Warner Brothers never engaged meaningfully on this. The problem that I have with this, of course, is, as you can imagine, is this gets into areas that used to be absolute no-nos because there's such a conflict of interest. Paramount says its offer contains more cash than Netflix's bid, $18 billion more in cash, and Paramount argued it's more likely to pass scrutiny from President Trump's administration, which, of course, you know, the Donald has inserted himself previously into business negotiations. And part of the Paramount offer includes an investment firm that is run by Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law. So again, the family stands to enrich itself as it has in so many other ways. I will say again, Jimmy Carter had to sell his damn peanut farm to avoid any appearance of a conflict of interest. And we have become so numb to corruption in politics that Donald Trump this year, remember, he only became president this year. Crazy as that sounds, you know, back in January. And he has enriched himself personally to billions of dollars because of decisions made by his administration or because of the intimidation factor of his administration. And I mean, bottom line for this, Parker, is that it doesn't matter if Netflix wins or Paramount wins for Warner Brothers Discovery. It's all coming out of our pockets at some point here.
Yeah, no matter what, that price is going to go up for folks. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't be fooled. In the beginning, somebody's going to bring it down like, oh, look what we did. We cut the price down right until the moment you're not paying attention.
Yes. And now you can get it with these three other services that we have. It's only going to cost you a lot more.
Getting jacked right back up. Yep. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we will talk to Ellie Bordeaux, our newsletter editor at Up North News. Sign up for those newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It's a Wednesday morning here on the Civic Media Radio Network, but also folks watching us on social media. And we got a comment on Facebook from Kimberly saying, what beautiful waterway are we looking at? So those folks at YouTube and Facebook, I've kept the commercial slide up a little bit longer. So you can see that's just my backyard. That's overlooking what you'd call either the northern tip of Lake Wissota or, you know, the Chippewa River just as it is, you know, turning into and becoming Lake Wissota. So that's a view due north. And there's nothing like a house that's pointed due north in the wintertime, let me tell you, when that wind is a howling like it was today. But thank you, Kimberly, for the nice note. There's obviously a lot more snow than there was when I took that picture out the backyard not that long ago. But yeah, we normally show what the view from Lake Wissota looks like at this point. I think we got six and a half inches of snow from that clipper that came through. Now, did you guys even get rain or anything in Madison or nothing?
It's really cruddy out.
Cruddy?
Yeah, it's cruddy.
Okay.
I don't know if it's snowed really at all. It might have a little, but it's in that mix range of it's just icy, basically.
So. Okay. Well, hopefully there weren't too many places that saw freezing precipitation and they take it easy out there. And, of course, we've got another trip to the deep freeze coming up in the next couple of days here as well. I don't know the last time we've been above freezing. It's been a while. And there's apparently, I think it's next Thursday, there's a chance we might get to 32 or 33 for a day. But it's been a little chilly here.
Yeah, it's been. I don't think it's gotten above freezing in Madison either, but it's kind of just done. Mm-hmm. It's high enough that it could get to that kind of rain.
Just annoying. Yes.
Crap.
Friend of ours texted from Chicago saying that he was coming up north this weekend, and I sent back, "You misspelled Key West. What would you?
Yeah.
You spelled it up north. No, I would
don't
be heading
do that
up north this time of year. Yes, it is snowbird season, folks." In other entertainment news, James Causey of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a nice column up this morning about celebrity couples who claim they never fight. As you know, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift apparently haven't had an argument yet in their 2.5 years. Travis and his brother were talking to George Clooney on their podcast. And George Clooney, talking about his wife, Amal, says they haven't argued in their 10 years together, saying, you know, we're trying to find something to fight about, but they have a rule. Neither of us is going to win the argument, so why get in it? And James asked in his column, do you think it's normal for couples to not argue? And he goes on to talk about how, you know, my wife and I don't argue much, and oftentimes it's actually with the other person's best interest at heart. Like, you know,
sure.
Why are you trying to go down the stairs when you just had surgery? How many times do I have to tell you to use your cane? But that's not really a fight. That's more of an annoyance. And he goes on to say, you know, growing up, my parents bickered. It wasn't so much that they argued as they would nitpick at one another. You know, and he says it kind of reminds him of, you know, some of the 70s sitcoms like, you know, George and Wheezy and the Jeffersons and others. I mean, it dates all the way back to, you know, Ralph and Alice in the Honeymooners, where they love to show husbands and wives bickering. And then you've got the dramas where it seems like couples are always fighting. They're just always arguing. Well, and somewhere. Yeah.
The trope is always that you hate each other.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, we hate each other, but, you know, we're going to stay together for the kids or whatever the case may be. George Clooney, he has a secret, according to James Causey in this column, and it's called maturity. And that's really, it's all about that. It's about, you know, having the right person. And as he said, George Clooney said, I'm 64 years old. What am I going to argue about at this point? I met this incredible woman. She's beautiful, smart, and stands for all the most important things that I believe in the world, and I can't believe how lucky I am. So what am I going to argue about? Now, this does bring to mind a quote that somebody left about Travis Kelce saying that he and Taylor Swift have never fought either. And the quote went something like this, nothing prevents fights more than a couple who's worth $1.67 billion and your girlfriend is bringing $1.66 billion of that into the relationship. Okay? I don't know that George and Amal or Travis, you know, and Tay-Tay have ever argued about, you know, whether you're loading the dishwasher wrong or, you know, so much of it is about household stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, why are you doing this job? Well, because you haven't done it. Well, I was going to get around to it. Or, of course, the money issues that are out there, you know, that people talk about.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, for these two particular couples, is it all about wealth or is it about a certain level of maturity? I mean, that is what people see in these folks to a degree. Well, three of them anyway. I mean, you know, George and Amal and Taylor all seem very smart, mature people.
And he got against Travis.
Travis, on the other hand, he and his brother Jason, when they're doing their podcast together, I don't know that maturity comes into play, although you do see how devoted he is to Taylor. And again, yeah. I don't think that that is just a factor of money. I think that they have a real chemistry there and that they hit it off and they recognized it. I certainly did with Sherry. You know, we were not planning to get married as young as we did. Yeah. We were actually rather angry, seriously angry, saying we found the right person too soon, you know, but we worked our way through it. And here we are 40 years later. Tony puts up on YouTube, I asked my parents if they fought, and she said she remembered only one fight when she was mad he went bowling like 30 years ago. He remembered that night but had no idea that she was mad. Ha ha. Tony says, our fights revolve around being frustrated with the kids but not being able to be mad at them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've now said in hindsight, and we love our daughters, but I think the closest we ever came to a fight that might have split us up was when the kids were teenagers. And it turns out it was their fault. We were disagreeing with each other, but once you don't have teenagers under the roof anymore, wow, things change. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk to State Representative Angelina Cruz about state support for special education all across Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Darn kids.
Darn kids.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.